Greetings and welcome to Navigate in Faith. I'm your host and author, Daniel Ochoa, and today we're going to be talking about fasting. Should believers fast? That's a good question. Well, pull up a chair and get comfortable as we dive into this topic. Have you ever heard the old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you? I'm here to tell you what you don't know can not only hurt you, but it can have eternal consequences. So let's address the first question. Why? Why should we fast? Well, for the answer, let's see what Jesus said about fasting in Matthew 6, 16. When you fast, okay, let's stop right here. Jesus emphasizes the practice of fasting not as an optional act, but as an expected part of our faith as we walk on this narrow road. That's why he said, when you fast. Now, we will continue to read the rest of the verses later in this episode because they have to deal more with the how question. Now, Jesus didn't tell us when is a good time to fast. He didn't tell us how long to fast. But to better understand the when and the how, we need to look at examples of the Bible of men and women who fasted. We're going to look at their reasons, their duration, to get a good idea of when and how long we should fast. Now, for our first example, let's look at Jesus. How long did Jesus fast for? 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I don't recommend anybody who's watching to do that length of a fast. What was the reason? Jesus fasted in the wilderness just before being tempted by Satan. Now notice, Satan attacked him at his weakest, but it was also in preparation to begin his public ministry. For our second example, let's look at Moses. How long did Moses fast for? 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. What was the reason? He was about to receive the Ten Commandments from God. For our third example, let's look at David before he became king. How long did David fast for? Well, the Bible doesn't really give us the duration, but we know it was at least a day. What was the reason? He was mourning the death of Saul. Now, for our fourth example, let's look at David as king. How long did he fast for? 7 days. What was the reason? Well, after King David had sinned against Bathsheba, she became pregnant and had a child. Now that child became very sick and David was fasting in hopes that God might be merciful to that child. For number five, let's look at Queen Esther and the Israelites. How long did they fast for? For 3 days. What was the reason? Queen Esther was planning on approaching the king of Persia unsummoned. That could be a death sentence. She was risking her life to save her people from a death decree. She was seeking God's protection. Let's look at Paul now for number six. How long did Paul fast for? 3 days. What was the reason? Paul fasted during his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. Number seven, Daniel. How long did Daniel fast for? 21 days, which is also known today as the Daniel fast. What was the reason? Daniel had a vision of God, from God, about a great war that was coming. So Daniel fasted for 21 days as part of a period of mourning and to seek understanding from God. Let's look at one more. The city of Nineveh. How long did they fast for? Once again, 3 days. What was the reason? This was a sign of their collective repentance, hoping that God would accept their repentance and not destroy their city. Now, the first thing that I like to point out with Nineveh is that fasting can be done as a sign of repentance. Where we've been sinning for a long time and we know it, and we finally come to our senses, we get on our knees and we pray and ask God for forgiveness, that is a good reason to fast. Now, did you notice any similarity between all these examples? Each person was grappling with uncertainty in their lives. When we have uncertainty in our lives, it can create stress and anxiety. When we're faced in situations with unknown outcomes, it can cause major stress on the body. So now that we looked at all these examples, when is a good time to fast? Whenever we're in a situation where there's uncertainty in our life, like losing a job and we're unsure of the future, or you're in a marriage that seems to be falling apart and you're not sure if it's going to survive. Or how about if you find yourself or a loved one in the hospital with a great illness? Or we're getting ready to start a new business or a career and you're not sure if it's going to be successful. These are great examples of why we should fast. So when is the best time to fast? When we have uncertainty in our lives. Fasting serves as a dedication time during life's uncertainties when we beseech God for intervention. It's like a personal favor in a dire circumstance. By fasting, we demonstrate our commitment to God, offering the sacrifice of food, our source of energy, and relying solely on Him for our needs, with the hope that He will intercede on our behalf with His blessing. Now, how long should we fast? Well, that depends on the level of desperation you're experiencing. Personally, I have undertaken fasts less than 24, 48, and 72 hours. However, during my last 72-hour fast, I will admit that I developed a severe migraine on the second day due to lack of food, and medicine wasn't helping me. So I ended the fast about 6 hours shy of my intended duration. Now, if you have never fasted, I recommend that you just start with a one-day fast. And if it's a family matter, I recommend that the whole family fast together. Okay, now that we know the why and the when we should fast, let's talk about how we should fast. For the answer, let's go back and finish what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus is telling us that fasting, like prayer, is intended to be a personal communication between us and God, not a display for others to see. It can be observed individually or collectively, like a family, small group, church, or even a nation. God knows we need that right now. If we do it to seek the approval of others, then that becomes what we are seeking. And therefore, when others praise us for our fasting, then the praise becomes our reward, meaning we can stop fasting because we've already received what we were seeking. I also recommend using God's calendar when fasting. Although we've been accustomed to the notion that a new day begins at midnight, this is not the way God intended it. A new day commences at sunset. This is evidenced in the book of Genesis when God created each day with the phrase, "And there was evening and there was morning the first day." Therefore, when the sun sets, that marks the beginning of a fast. If you're observing a one-day fast, you can break your fast as soon as the sun sets the following day. However, I recommend that you make sure that the sun has completely set. Now, let's talk about the warnings that come with fasting. There are two warnings that we're going to address. First, if we're going to fast, asking God to intervene with uncertainty into our lives, then we need to make sure that we're living a life that's obedient to God. What do I mean? Well, in the book of Isaiah, the Jews were fasting and subjecting their bodies to starvation, yet they couldn't comprehend why God was not responding. The underlying reason was their disobedience to God. Let's look at Isaiah 58:3-6. Now, this is God speaking. "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" Here, God explains how the Israelites cried out to him, asking him why he hasn't noticed the sacrifice and fasting. Now, let's look at God's answer. "Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord?" What God is saying here is that being obedient only when you fast is not going to get His attention. We need to be obedient even when we're not fasting. Now God is going to tell them the kind of fast that He expects. "Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of the unjust and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wandering with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like a dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, 'Here I am.'" The fundamental reason why God did not respond to their prayers during fasting was that they were conducting their lives similar to everyone else in the world. If we choose to fast, it is essential that we live in a manner that honors God rather than conforming to the world standards. That's why Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams." Which brings us to warning number two. We should approach each fasting with an understanding that we may not necessarily receive the specific answer we desire. Remember David's sick child? The child did not recover. The child died. We must approach fasting with an understanding that we will be content with whatever the outcome. If you're not familiar with the story of Queen Esther and her famous words, "If I perish, I perish," Esther recognized that approaching the king without an invitation could lead to her execution. However, she also recognized that if it was not God's will, then so be it. And that's why she said before approaching the king, "If I perish, I perish." Now, before I wrap this up, I would like to discuss one more amazing thing that happens when we fast. Whenever our bodies go through chronic stress, anxiety, it can have detrimental effects on our overall health. Prolonged stress can lead to issues like high blood pressure, cardiovascular problems, weakened immune function, and mental health disorders like anxiety disorder and depression. However, when we fast, something amazing happens. When we reach the hour of around 16, our bodies reach a stage called autophagy. Autophagy is a cellular process in which the body breaks down and recycles damaged and dysfunctional cellular components. The term autophagy comes from the Greek word for self and Eden, essentially meaning self-eating. It is a crucial process for maintaining cell health and to ensure proper cellular function. There is evidence to suggest that autophagy may offer neuroprotective benefits. This means it could help protect neurons, nerve cells, from damage or death. Autophagy is activated in response to various types of cellular stress, including nutrient deprivation. Encouraging autophagy through means like exercise and fasting can have various health benefits. These benefits could indirectly contribute to better mental health and resilience against stress. Remember, everything God does or commands us to do is for our own benefit. By Him asking us to fast when we stress, we're actually repairing the body. Well, that about wraps it up. I hope you liked this episode. And until next time, God bless. And I hope to see you all in our Father's home.